Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. At Within the Realm, we believe that there's a story behind everything, and they're worth telling. Sometimes the stories become about more than what they first appeared to be. Today's story is one of those stories. I had scheduled an interview with an old friend who has become an artist, an Indian artist, of some renown, Bobby C. Martin. Bobby and I met in the mid-80s. We shared a love for making music and writing songs, and have collaborated on both as time and distance allows. Back then, Bobby amazed us with his skill reproducing scenes and faces on paper. He later acquired a master's in fine arts and has developed into an artist whose art hangs in galleries and is sought after by collectors. In addition to music, Bobby and I shared another thing. We both grew up Indian, in an Indian community, he in Tahlequah and I in Stillwell, Oklahoma. He's a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation, and I'm Cherokee. Where we grew up, it was more uncommon not to have an Indian heritage. His most recent show explored that heritage and identity learned there in the Boston Mountains of Oklahoma, and how it seems to interact with the rest of the world. The timing of our interview was interesting. Just the previous day, the subject of Indian identity had become a political discussion involving the President and Senator Elizabeth Warren. I'll leave the current politics out of this, but the history of the tribes in eastern Oklahoma is a complicated matter. Many terms and ideas that are part of the bedrock of Indian identity came up effortlessly in our conversation, but having traveled outside of those communities that share such an identity, we know that this complicated history is, at best, oversimplified and misunderstood, and, at worst, unknown. Through our conversation, you may hear us refer to removal. This has been portrayed as the Trail of Tears, the forced migration of these Indians from their ancestral homes in the southeastern part of the United States. You'll hear the terms Dawes Roll and allotment. At the end of the 19th century, the federal government had determined to end the era of self-governance by those nations. The members of the tribes were to be enumerated, and from that list, the tribal lands, which were held in common by the tribe, were to be divided and allotted to the members. This explanation is oversimplified in itself, but is done so as to allow for a framework for the later references. The question of what makes an Indian is often asked. The purpose of the Dawes Roll 125 years ago, was to determine who, legally, was a member of the several tribes that had been removed to eastern Oklahoma, then known as Indian Territory, and then the land was to be allotted to the people on this list. But even now, the question still lingers. With that introduction, on with our discussion with Indian artist Bobby C. Martin. What's the name of your show, and what's the significance of the name?
Well, the name of the show is But You Don't Look Indian, ... And the significance is it's just something I've heard for the last, well, probably my whole life, but especially since I started doing art. I even heard it this past summer in Santa Fe in my booth. People come in and they expect, obviously, a certain thing, or you expect a certain look. They're talking about your art and that you're Muscogee Creek Indian, or that your family is native, and invariably somebody will say, but you don't look Indian. I don't know what really to respond to that other than it's like, well, what am I supposed to look like? What is an Indian supposed to look like? And so that's kind of the genesis of that idea of the show. What does an Indian look like? And what is an Indian even supposed to look like? It's an interesting question.
Is there an answer to it?
No. Well, yeah, there's multitudes of answers, I guess. You mean, what is an Indian, that question? Yeah, there's all kinds of layers of answers. And that's actually kind of what I've tilled my way through for the last 25 years of my art, is what is an Indian for me? Growing up, we talked about this earlier, but growing up in the middle of an Indian community, you take it for granted in one way, but then you also just don't even know that you're in the middle of it in another way until you get out of it. And then you realize this is a community that's is unique and has its own identity. So yeah, so my art's about those layers of identity. You know, I've got the family layers, I've got the grannies that spoke the language, and then I've got my grandkids who are, you know, by government definition 1/16th Indian, whatever exactly that means. And then you've got the fact that I'm 1/4 Indian by legal definition, which allows me to be a citizen of my tribe, which is another definition. And so layer after layer of what an Indian is. Well, for me, and of course this came kind of later in life, but you notice that there's a lack of awareness or knowledge of even the history related to Indian people. Growing up in Tahlequah, a lot of that stuff, you know, Trail of Tears and all the history that goes along with it. I mean, we was sort of, everybody lived it and knew it. But even just coming over to work in Arkansas, you know, not even barely 30 or 40 miles away, so once you cross the Arkansas border, there is a very much a sort of a disappearance of that kind of history, that kind of backstory that's sort of taken for granted. And you feel like you're not in no way discriminated against or anything like that necessarily, but there's a certain amount of education that you have to sort of come at people with, especially when you're trying to show your art in an area where there isn't that familiarity. And suddenly you're having to basically sort of explain everything that you've always taken for granted.
Can you give me an example?
Well, just the history generally. Even going to taking art, some of that traveling show we just got off the road, Return from Exile, you know, showing that art in what would have been the ancestral homelands of, you know, Creeks and Cherokees, and seeing how unfamiliar most of those people were with the history, even that people, that our people lived where they're standing, you know, 175 years ago, and they're no longer here because of all this kind of sordid history. It wasn't unexpected, because I think that's pretty much true almost anywhere outside of, say, Indian country or reservations, or just where, you know, where Indians happen to be, that there is generally a very much a lack of awareness of the trials and tribulations of Native histories. It's not all about the history, but it is, that's a big part of it, that lack of awareness or recognition that there's a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff that still kind of plays into people's lives.
You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, there is a legal definition of Indian art, Indian artist, I guess. As an artist, does that end up meaning anything to you?
Well, it's just it's more source material in this whole kind of identity politics that I guess over the years I've gone from just using kind of straight family photos to adding these kind of other layers of stuff. Some of it being things that reference the politics of identity, like the Dawes roll names and allotment and land theft and all the other things that have happened. So yeah, that that definition plays into all kinds of things as an artist, for me anyway, because it's still very much a reality in the art world, especially because like going over, like I just got through doing the Cherokee Art Market. And the reality is, you have to send them a photocopy of your CDIB card to prove that you are a member of a federally recognized tribe just to even be able to get a booth. So just the practicality of it means that it's an everyday thing you have to think about or deal with. Lots of artists don't necessarily insert that stuff in their art. I do a lot of times because it's interesting to me. You know, it's interesting that whole, again, coming back to those layers of identity. It's not just black or white or red or white or whatever. There's all kinds of shades of identity that play into who you are as a Native American. I mean, that's true for anybody, but I think especially Native people have kind of more identity, I won't say crises, but, you know, identity issues, because a lot of it has been, is these sort of legalities have been thrust upon us. And art, like I said, it plays into the very practical day-to-day things we have to deal with. If you got the card, your card carrying, then you don't have to even think about that, except making sure you submit the right paperwork. But it's kind of, it's weird. It's sort of like you have to sort of have the right papers. I see these, you know, I see these old war films where, you know, the Jews have to show their papers, you know, or some other ethnic group has to show their papers. Well, reality is Native people have to show their papers all the time to sort of prove who they are. It's very, still very interesting to me, and that's stuff I address in my art a lot.
Just as you've been saying this, I'm thinking about, you know, what do I have to do, you know, as the podcaster? I think I'm going to have to explain what removal is, what Dawes roll is, what allotment means.
Oh, yeah. Well, this Fayetteville, this last Saturday, right, there were up to 12 or so people that were there. You know, a couple were my cousins, and a couple were people that I know, and they knew the history, but I'd say the other half of the crowd, it turned into almost every time I show my art, it turns into this sort of teachable moment where you're explaining the allotment process. You're explaining more in depth. I mean, most everybody's heard of this term Trail of Tears or forced removal, but most of them really don't know what that actually meant, you know, and how that even came about. And so, yeah, I mean, even though that those terms are kind of public knowledge in a way, but they're not really anything that people have much in-depth knowledge of, even in Indian country. But especially if you get outside, you get beyond the borders of Oklahoma, unless you're in some specialized pocket of, you know, like in Santa Fe, for example, where there's a lot of Native people, or maybe some other areas. But it's amazing how you don't have to go very far away to find that lack of knowledge about all the history. So yeah, you're right about, you know, having to educate folks about just the basic history. Especially this Oklahoma Indians, Indian country, definitely has a different, I mean, every tribe has its own kind of history and story, but, you know, we have our own particular story that's certainly different than reservation Indians or southwestern Hopis or Pueblo Indians. And that's the other thing that's a big deal a lot of times when you go somewhere, that people, you would think people would beyond this now, but they still see Indians as sort of this monolithic thing. We all had this shared history, we all have this shared experiences. You know, there's no realization that there's, you know, what is there now, 500 and something federally recognized tribes in the United States, each one of them having their own unique language and their own unique histories. So yeah, it's amazing to me, really, well into the 21st century, there's still. And maybe it's not so amazing because the farther away you get from it, the less people are going to remember it or even be taught about it. So maybe it's not so surprising.
So what's one of the things you would want to communicate, whether through art or just through explanation to people? What's something that you would want to communicate about Indianness?
Well, part of it is that what we've been talking about, sort of the, at least get the education part of it, the awareness part of it. But then also, or the sameness, the consistency of what family, you know, family is a big deal for the way when I think about why I do my art. And yeah, I have a background that's different from a lot of people, but then it's not so different. You know, that's one thing I try. These photographs could be any photograph. It could be any ethnic group. It could be any place. It just so happens that I came from an Indian background, Indian families. They just happen to be Indians in the picture, but they could really be anybody's family. So I guess part of it is, yeah, I want to show the uniqueness and the awareness of the history and the, you know, not the plight. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're looking for, certainly not pity or anything like that. You do want people to be aware, especially when you've got just so much misinformation. You want to kind of be at least one small voice of truth and factual information. But also I don't want it to all be about that. I want it to be more sort of, in a way, in something that is connecting with everybody, the universal, you know, art is kind of a great equalizer in that way. If people can all look at a picture of an old family photo with a truck in it and, you know, get these warm fuzzies, hopefully. But then there's other things going on in it if people want to explore it. But if they just want to look at it purely And I'm fine with that, purely as a, you know, to remind them of their own family, of their own histories, and that's cool too. So I guess, you know, I'm certainly not doing this to be hardcore political activist. That is a part of it. That is in there. It's in the layers of the work I do. But that's not the only reason. That's not the only thing I want to bring to the table.
You can find examples of Bobby's art at bobbycmartin.com or the Seven Springs Studio Facebook page. We'll have links to both in the show notes. You can find the show notes and a few examples of his work at withinpodcast.com. And since we mentioned the complicated history of what is now Eastern Oklahoma, I recommend sampling one of our earlier shows, Lovely County, Do-It-Yourself Diplomacy, archived on our website. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Within the Realm. We'd like to extend a special thanks to our guest, Bobby Martin. You can keep up with us at our website, withinpodcast.com, or on social media at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Within the Realm at iTunes, Stitcher, Radio Public, and other podcatchers. Our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. And as always, thanks for listening.